Proverbs chapter 7. The strange woman we were talking about earlier, and we'll pick back up on that. The strange woman, her characteristics. And this is part two. The first message we covered, the loud and stubborn woman, how she is loud and stubborn is a characteristic of a strange woman or a characteristic of a harlot. And the Bible says, doesn't say that the person that is loud and stubborn is a harlot, says that they are taking on the speech of a harlot. They're acting like a strange woman when they do that. Those are the characteristics of one. Proverbs chapter 7, verse number 5, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her lip, with her words. We talked about how they flatter with their lips and their words, and they flatter. This is not talking to their husband or something, but they're flattering other men. They're talking with other men. They're trying to allure other men with their speech. And that's the nature of their speech, is to allure other men. The Bible's very clear that that is wicked. It's wrong. Also that then the second attribute we talked about was the fact that the woman is loud and stubborn. She will not be corrected. She just continues on her way, does the same thing, doesn't stop, won't listen to any reason, won't be corrected, won't be straightened out by anyone or anything, but will have her voice heard no matter what. And ladies, sometimes your silence speaks more than your words do. You know, sometimes your godly subjection will speak more volumes. The Bible says that than whether you speak your peace and get out what you want to say. All right. And then the Bible says in verse number 6, for at the window of my house I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones. We're going to talk about that one of these weeks. I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now she is without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So we talked about those first few characteristics or attributes of the strange woman. Now we come to the one where the Bible speaks of the strange woman's feet abide not in her house. They abide not in her house. I like this quote. The prostitute generally does not like to stay at home. Domestic duties of serving a husband and children are boring, frustrating, and beneath her. She wants to be out and about in the city, attending this and that activity to the neglect of her high calling. She is bored being a housewife. She gets claustrophobic. She loves to shop. She loves to leave her house. She is not content working at home to make her house and family the best. You know, this lady cannot stay at home. She cannot concentrate on being the best wife and mother she can be. That's beneath her. It's not enough for her. It's not enough to be a wife and a mother. She must be out and about doing everything else, looking for some better life, looking for something that is better out there, always searching for something. I didn't make this up, folks. This is the Bible says her feet abide not in her house. She has to always be going all the time. Cannot abide at the house and guide the home. It's not enough. Always have to have more. Now she is without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. Turn to Titus chapter 2, please. The Apostle Paul covers this and talks about this. He says in Titus chapter 2, verse number 3, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. How do they teach that? By example. By their own godly subjection. To be discreet. Chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. Do you know how many times in the scriptures the Bible says to their own husbands, to their own husbands, to their own husbands? Why is that? Because really your husband is never supposed to put you in a position where you must be subjected to another man. Why? Because there's nowhere in the Bible that God ordained it to be so, that's why. She's not supposed to have to be subjected to somebody else. The Bible says, and he shall rule over thee. That's not every man, that's your husband. Amen. By the way, I'm not making that up. That's what the Apostle Paul said. I'm not speaking that on my own authority because it's a better plan. It works for me that way. Speaking because this is what the Bible says. This is what the Word of God says very clearly. By the way, there's nothing demeaning about that either. Absolutely nothing demeaning about that. It says to be discreet, chaste keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. You know, if they're discreet, if they're chaste, if they're keepers at home, they're good, obedient to their own husbands. Well, how do you ensure that? How do you make that? You keep them at home. Amen? You keep them at home. What does that mean? That means you take care of them. That's not a hard one to figure out, is it? It's very simple. Now, a lot of people don't know this, and out of ignorance, we've done a lot of things. But that's because independent Baptists have dropped the ball a long time ago on preaching the right order of the home. I don't know when they fell asleep to it. I'm not sure when it was. Maybe it was when all the high education entered into the Baptist churches. I'm not sure where it was. But at some point in our history, we stopped preaching that. Well, I know when it was, actually. It was in the 1850s when the rise of feminism came and the women's suffrage movement came. Then when it started to gain steam, then eventually preachers just backed up and said, hey, wait a minute. If I get that lady to work, we're going to have double offerings. If I get the husband and the wife working, that'll be double for me. Now I realize, and you need to understand something, that nobody's condemning anybody here or thinking they're better than anybody or anything else. No, far from it. No. And you guess what? You're not going to fix everything and change. In some situations, you're not going to be able to change. Because you can't control the outcome of what somebody else does. You can do right. You can do what you're supposed to do, but that doesn't mean somebody else is going to. That doesn't mean somebody in authority is going to. That doesn't mean, and sometimes it's not going to happen. But what we can do is we set the order for the next generation. We set the order and make it right. Not to look back and point fingers and condemn our forefathers, condemn your mother, your father, your family. That's not the point. The point is to set the order going forward. To prepare and warn the next generation. Amen? It's not to stab those that are there now, because there's not going to be a whole lot that's going to change with that. Because too much time and pattern and everything else goes, and too much stuck in that mold, and it won't change for the most part. Very seldom do you find a generational change within that generation, you know, a change within that same generation. It's tough. It can happen. God's power can do anything. But people have to be willing and obedient, and it has to. And you can't control what other people do. You can only understand what's right to move forward. But anyway, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now this is talking in the context of a husband and a wife. And it is saying here that a good, godly wife will be one that is a keeper at home, good, obedient to their own husband. Why? That the word of God be not blasphemed. Many husbands have blasphemed the order of God. Many. By the way, I don't blame women for that. I blame men for that. Every opportunity I have to blame men, I do. Right? Fact, I pretty much blame men for just about everything that goes on because they're the leaders. The responsibility has been given to you. Now, if you choose to, you can point a finger at your wife and you can blame her. But just remember, there's three fingers pointing back at you. Why keepers at home? Well, because the complete opposite we find in Proverbs chapter 7. That the strange woman will not stay home, but she must be out running all the time. She must be. I've even said, well, listen, I can have a full-fledged career and follow all my dreams and still be a good mother. I didn't say you didn't have the ability to do it. We're not talking about ability. We're talking about permissibility. Did God permit you to do that? Remember that verse? Remember that teaching? Ye are not your own, for you're bought and paid for with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Ye are not your own. Amen? You're not allowed to change God's order. And a lady, a husband is not allowed to change God's order. He might do it, but he has no permission from God to do it. And he does it at his own peril, by the way. It's been my experience to see that if you expect a woman to take care of herself, she will. But along with that goes the same independent spirit. And give me 5 minutes in the room with that person that says that's not true and I'll prove it is. Amen. But again, then you have husbands that will complain about that. Their wife have an independent spirit will stop making her take care of herself. Stop making her do what you're supposed to do. I have seen that in marriages where they will have these battles. And when you get to the heart of that battle, one of the main reasons that battle takes place is why? Because her feet abideth not in her house. See it today with it everywhere with married couples like that. And you know, it used to be that the church used to preach against that. They would preach that the moms stay home, take care of the children. But then all of a sudden, things changed. And then the church adopted the world stand. And I defy you to prove it differently. Prove it differently. The churches took on the stand of the world and they Christianized feminism. That's what they did. But the Bible says that that wife is to be a keeper at home. That's God's order. That's God's plan. Why? Because the opposite is a woman that her feet abideth not in her home. She has to be everywhere, doing everything. By the way, that spirit, that now there's some ladies that will buck that and say, no, I'm going to work, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. That spirit right there, I'm going to do it, is a spirit that should have been taken care of back at the courtship time. That all should be dealt with back there. That agreement and understanding should be there when you're in that courtship phase, that I will be the husband and I will take care of you and you will stay at home and guide the home. Oh, that's so chauvinist. No, that's so biblical. Well, you can call it chauvinism if you want to. I just call it being biblical. I didn't make that order up. God did. And last time I checked, he gave no permission. I heard people say, oh, that's meddling. That's not meddling, that's preaching. It's right there. It says it right there. If he didn't want me to preach it, he wouldn't have wrote it. Amen! That's right, every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. By the way, it's not the wife's fault that her husband will not provide for her. Don't blame her. Don't blame her for it. By the way, the sign of a wife with a content heart or the daughters under their father's roof are content is that they do not have to be running to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. Amen. Her feet abideth not in her house. This commentator said she gads abroad, and this disposition probably first led to this vice. What he is saying is that what led her into harlotry was the fact that her feet abided not in her house. She was always into everybody else's business. She was always running around doing something. Not at home. Not concentrated on the home. As soon as a wife or a mother learns that that is her sphere, that is the school that she's to teach in, that's the training ground, you'll be at peace with it. I met a lot of women that want to go preach on the street, or they want to go door knock, or they want to go do a lot of things. But you better worry about that door that's yours called the front door and stay on the inside of it and teach your own family. Amen! Because that's who you're supposed to be teaching, and that's who you're going to answer to God for. Not little Billy Bob down the street. Your little Billy Bob you got right there. That's who you're going to answer for someday. You better be more worried about raising them for God. You know, I've met a lot of mothers that have chased around, even called it Christianity, chased around a lot of other people's children. But didn't take care of the ones and love the ones and nurture the ones. You know where most of those children are at today? Out in the world. And they're not serving God. Why? Because their mom was out being superwoman somewhere. Amen. Hey, I know it's straight. I know. I understand. But sometimes you got to be shook a little bit to wake up. Now, question for you. If you despise what was just said to you, why? Boy, it's quiet. But if you despise what was just said, ask yourself why. Why wouldn't I be happy abiding in my home? Why wouldn't I be happy nurturing my own children? Why don't I see the ministry that God has given me, the exalted place that God has given me in my home? Why isn't that important to me? Why do I need something else? Could it be that I have a heart of discontent and I've not fully submitted my heart to my husband to guide the home? Oh, make no mistake about it, my friend. It is a heart matter. It is purely a heart matter. And by the way, men, have some faith in God, will you? There isn't a man in this room that is starving. So not a man in this room needs his wife to work for him. Amen. Come on. And if she is, she can do it under your authority in your home and find a whole lot of ways to make a whole lot of money sitting right at home. Amen. Just like the Proverbs 31 woman did from her home. Her husband's estate. Amen. If it wasn't a big deal, then God wouldn't have put it in His Word. If it was not a sign of a strange woman that her feet abided not in her home, then God wouldn't have put it in there. By the way, what this is saying is that, another one before I forget. Fathers, your daughters, your responsibility. Your responsibility. I understand what feminism taught you. I don't have my little marker up here. I could use this board like all the professionals do. It's okay. I don't need it. But feminism taught us that, when somebody turns 18, whether it's a boy or a girl, you just send them out and get them working. Go take care of yourself. You're responsible. You take care of yourself. Now, I realize feminism taught that, and Christian feminism teaches that. This doesn't teach that. The Word of God doesn't teach that. You won't find that anywhere in the Bible. Anywhere where God expected, God told a man or directed a man in his home that you go send her out, get her working. And what's this magic number of 18 anyway? What's that got to do with the Bible? Are we of this world, really? That somebody says, well, they're 18, they can do what they want. Who says? Who says? The government? Well, the government says abortion's legal too. Just because something is legal doesn't mean it's biblical. Where in the Bible does it say it's okay for your daughter to rebel against you when she turns 18? Where do you find that in the Bible anywhere? No, you don't. We have taken on the customs of this world, and we've brought them into our homes, and they've become regular in our home where that's just the way it is. Why? Well, because the government says that's the way it is. I take that even down to voting. Oh, my daughter wants to vote for so-and-so. I don't care. Who cares? You saying she can't? Yeah, she's my daughter. I'll tell her she can't, yeah. Oh, you can't do that. Yeah, you can't. Watch me. Just watch me. I'll do it right in front of you. You can't do that. Sure I can. Sure I can. Well, it's terrible. I'm glad you don't like it. Doesn't change me one bit. Doesn't bother me at all. Should it? Should I be bothered by the fact that you don't like something that I do? Well, I don't go over and tell you what to do with your daughter. I'll preach you what the Bible says, but I don't want to go and enforce it. Why? Why do you feel that way? Well, we don't want to talk about women and voting and the whole purpose of it all, but if you just do a little statistics and find out why, you'll figure out real quick why it was a bad idea. Just trace it and see. It's tough to know some things, because when you know them, then sometimes you speak them, and then when you speak them, people get upset. Well, that's very demeaning. No, I'm not being demeaning. I'm being honest. And by the way, don't think that every lady around is like you, one that loves God. Understand that. Because they don't. Just like there's not a lot of men that love God anymore either. They don't think like we do. They don't think biblical like that. So when they vote out of pure emotion. Pure emotion. I mean, they had a girl on television. They asked her why she was voting. Because Obama's going to give me a cell phone. Yeah. Just things like that that people... some people voted for a politician because they like the way he looks. Some women, I like the way he looks. He's a handsome guy. I think I'll vote for him. I'm not lying. I'm not being demeaning. I'm telling you that you just, it's out there. All the information is out there, these kind of things. Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, put in office by women, predominantly. Oh. By the way, nothing in the Bible says that either. Just like in churches with churches and everything else. See, we have been so accustomed to this world that what I'm saying to you right now, oh, that sounds crazy. Really? It just sounds biblical to me. Remember, Sarah called her husband Lord. Remember that? She followed him. She obeyed him. She understood that was her head. He was her covering. He was her head. He was the leader. She followed him. She loved him. Was she demeaned? No, she was the mother of nations. But because America and feminism and the devil has told you differently, everything that's said like this is such a shock and awe to everybody. It's not. It's biblical. It's just our pride gets hurt because we have to admit that we've been doing things the wrong way. But we don't want to admit that. The Bible says now she is without this woman, this Proverbs 7 woman, which means she continually is showing herself to be available. She is not under a covering, but she's exposed. She will answer to no one. She is the opposite of the careful, modest housewife who stays at home and manages her family's affairs, her husband's affairs. She is the opposite of the Proverbs 31 woman. She is self-willed, only interested in her own pleasures being fulfilled. 1 Timothy 5:13, and with all they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers and also busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. So what does Paul say? I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, given on occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Why? Because he knows that if they're not under a husband and they're not in the home, they're going to get in trouble. You know how many women have gotten in trouble because they don't mind their own business? Amen. I've seen it rip churches up. Churches, they had all these people, nobody wants to talk to each other. They're all mad because women got together and had a bunch of gossip fest, started arguing with each other. Or you got some limp-wristed husbands that won't stand up to their wives and lead them and tell them to knock off the garbage. They won't stand up and do that. Oh, you just sound so crude and rough. Really? I think I just sound like a man. That sometimes you got to lead. That's offensive. It usually is. When Jesus spoke with authority, they were offended too. They didn't like that either. When John the Baptist came out of the wilderness looking like a nut, they didn't like him either. But they woke up a lot of people, didn't they? And we got so many sleepy Christians to the order of God today that all these things sound so crazy to people. Why? Because they're asleep. They've been lulled to sleep by little sermonettes. And the pastor can't rock the boat at all. Yeah. And when you don't want to rock the boat, so to speak, what happens? Eventually it sinks. Gets weighed down with a bunch of things and it just sinks. Me, I'd rather tip the whole boat over. You know why? Because the truth is that important, that's why. And I've seen what happens to people's lives when they don't follow God's order. And they throw caution to the wind. And they do whatever they want to do and they change God's order. And then they sit around and they wonder, why? How come I'm not blessed? And how'd my family end up this way? We're Christians. Yeah, but did you follow God? Did you follow His order? Or did you teach your daughters a spirit of independence and rebellion? Did you teach your sons to be men and to take care of their wives? Did you teach the daughter to be dependent on her father, so therefore she's dependent on her husband? You know, it's more than just a ceremony when you give that daughter away. It's saying, now you're going to do the same thing I did for her. And if you don't, I'm going to come looking for you. Let me ask you, are you content in your home? Or do you have to be wandering about all the time? It's a major warning to married ladies that they follow the Word of God and model their walk from it, not from anything else. By the way, fundamentalism as a whole doesn't teach us any longer. It doesn't fit their program. But because we followed the rudiments of this world and not after Christ, we see what we come up with. Hey, Dad, you want to train a daughter right? Then take care of her. Don't make her care for herself. You don't have one biblical teaching that can defend the fact that you send her off to work for herself and take care of herself. Now, the world teaches that lesson, but the Bible doesn't. The church teaches that lesson, but the Bible doesn't. Not anywhere in the Scriptures. Doesn't feminism teach us that being a housewife is beneath women today? They've evolved into a greater position. And those feminists came along and they straightened out that old King James Bible, didn't they? Boy, they straightened it out, didn't they? That archaic book, that old book there. Feminism came out, but what did God say? God had feminism's number a long time ago, and what did He say? Her feet abideth not in her house. Long time ago, God had that. Amen? That silly old book that lays down the order of the home, why, 100 years of feminism has fixed that old book, hasn't it? And a bunch of Baptist preachers that stood up and preached something contrary to the book that was preached for 2,000 years. They straightened it out, didn't they? But you know, it's tough to pay for the building like that. It's tough to pay the big mortgage like that. If you don't think this kind of preaching doesn't label you or affect you in some way. You got nothing coming. It upsets a lot of people when you preach like this. I don't even like to do it, to be honest with you. It's easier if I don't. It makes my life a whole lot easier. But it doesn't mean it's right not to. This strange woman is subtle of heart. Proverbs 7:10, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. Remember, she's a married woman, not just any harlot, but a married woman. So she is not truly revealing her heart. She has a subtle heart. Sly in design, artful, cunning, insinuating, applied to persons as a subtle foe. Remember, there's one that was subtle. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. That heart of a strange woman is a subtle heart. It is a heart that is a trap for a man. But not revealing who she really is. You see, she's like the devil, not revealing her true motives. He thinks it's simply to please him. The man that falls for the strange woman thinks that she just wants to please him. But it's not. It's to catch that young man in a snare. How many young men have ruined their lives by the wrong ladies? One commentator says, mistress of all artful, intriguing methods to seduce and ensnare, she's reserved of the heart, cautious and wary what she said, told everything that was encouraging, but kept back that which was discouraging. Or she kept her own heart to herself while she stole the heart of others. That's what Eve did, or that's what Satan did to Eve, and the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. He was subtle. See, he only showed her the pleasure of sin. He didn't show her the judgment on that sin. Just like the woman of a subtle heart, the strange woman, she doesn't show the judgment on that sin. You know, the good man is away. You know how many times men have been caught into those situations and end up getting shot? Somebody ends up dying? Or worse, they ruin the life of that family. They destroy it. No, she doesn't show that side of it. She'll show you the pleasure-filled side of fornication, but not the destructive and death side. By the way, there is a death in fornication. She takes away the hearts of the young man by a subtle heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. She has the deceitful cunning, and she is wise as a serpent, but very harmful. She's a master at trapping. Potiphar's wife was the same way. She was like a serpent that waited for the right time to trap Joseph, so she could lie with him. And when he refused to the cunning strange woman, she was able to lie about him and not get caught. You ought to be careful, lady, not to deal with your husband after a subtle manner, even any men, after a subtle manner. After a crafty manner. After a cold and calculating manner. You must be upfront and honest and speak plainly and reveal your heart to your own husband. Don't play games. Too many men and women play games with each other. Marriage is not to be a game. You don't play games with people's hearts. It's wicked. It's satanic. Devilish. The Bible says this strange woman is a deep ditch, a narrow pit. For a whore is a deep ditch and a strange woman is a narrow pit. This woman is never satisfied with what she receives. She is never happy. Burning in lust always and never satisfied. There are some women that I have met that will never be happy with one man. Never could be happy with one man. Sadly, I have met those type of women. I have seen them. And they go on and their lives are completely miserable. They could never be happy. They could not stop with their whoredoms. By the way, that deep ditch is also, they will also swallow up and devour a man's life. They will consume him. She is a trap and a snare that he is not easily brought out of. What the Bible is saying here is if you fall into the trap of the strange woman, if you fall into the trap of the harlot, you don't come out. Many don't come out. Many never get free from that trap. They are always stuck in that trap. Many of men have went to hell through whoredoms and the whore that enticed them away. And they repented not of their fornication, the Bible says. Why? Because a strange woman in the whore is a deep ditch. Because lust is boundless and bottomless, and he is a perfect slave that serves the whore. Her trap leads them to hell. Leads them to hell. You know, the Bible, you gotta be awful careful. The Bible, we're not gonna cover this today, but the Bible talks about the eyes of a man are never satisfied. That's why when we talk about the attire of a harlot, you will see and understand that it's so important how you dress. So completely important as to how you dress. Why? Because if you dress the wrong way, you will lead to bad things. Now, it's because the Bible says the eyes of a man are never satisfied. But if you as a lady understand that, then that ought to make you be cautious about what you do and how you dress. And by the way, if you're not cautious and if that doesn't bother you, then how dwelleth the love of God in you? That you would be fine with causing a brother to stumble or another man to stumble or someone to look at you with eyes that are not pure. Think about that. Well, I like the way it looks. Yeah, so does all of other guys. Does that mean it's right? Amen. Always about I, what I like. Take a good lesson from John the Baptist. Amen. What did he say? He must increase and I must decrease. Her trap leads them to hell. I've heard of men being swayed by the strange woman. I think of a friend whose wife of 20 years left him for a 15-year-old boy that she seduced. By the way, he's a pastor. Yeah. His wife seduced a 15-year-old boy. What's that? Right, the word of God is blasphemed. She was the strange woman that lie in wait. Look at the outbreak, though, in the public school system today of women seducing young men. Well, that would almost make you think they shouldn't be there in the first place. I can go along with that. Amen? Don't you think that's odd that you see that? The Bible warns about that. It warns about that strange woman. Well, I'll tell you something that's amazing to me, that any man would be in prison for years. They'd want to hang him. They'd want to beat him to death. They'd want to do all kinds of things. But when women do it, it doesn't play out to be that big of a deal. Yeah, they get punished for it, but it sure isn't as big a deal as when men do it. And it's even more unnatural for a woman to do that, by the way. But you look at the outbreak in the public school system today with that. The Bible tells us how to avoid all that, but we've evolved. And we're smarter than that now. We're smarter than God's order. Just ask most Baptist churches today. They'll tell you, we're smarter than God's order. I understand that's what God's order is, but we're smarter than that now. We've evolved. We have a program. Good for you. The strange woman lies in wait to trap them and seduce them. We always hear of society talking about male predators, which there are, but there are also female predators that prey on the young man and try to snare him. She also lieth in wait as for a prey and increaseth the transgressors among men. That's the strange woman. She looks to pounce on her prey. She is looking for that young, simple man. She also lieth in wait at the door of her house in the corner of the streets, in the dark of the night, laying her snares and spreading her nets for an unwary person to make a prey of their virtue and of their money. Or as the man of prey, a thief and a robber, she comes. And she robs them of their substance, their health, and their credit. Or rather, as a beast of prey, ravenous and devouring, she devours the young man's life. You know, you got to be careful with your young men. She can be found at the door of the house when the young man is doing work or mowing a neighbor's lawn even. Say, come on. Trust me when I tell you, those things can happen anywhere. She can be found in the dark of the night when the young man should be home, not wandering all hours of the night. She wants his money, his purity, his virtue. Proverbs 7:8 says she was in her house. Verse number 12 says on the streets. She is and can be anywhere. She could be in the church house. She could be in the school. That all happened in independent, Baptist, King James only church. You know, when we don't heed God's warnings, we really do trust the devil a little too much. Bible says she increaseth the transgressors among men. When they are drawn away and enticed of their own lust, it's their fault because they are simple ones. The wise man will stay away from her. He will not be taken by her. The wise man will avoid the whore in the streets or the whore in the house. She increaseth hell by her work. She is very effective at trapping men. There is none that occasions more than sin or makes more sinners than a whorish woman. Swearing, lying, drunkenness, thieving, stealing, housebreaking, robbing on the highway are the sins that she leads into, or increaseth her treacherous persons to their king, to their wives, to their masters, and to all that they consume. She gets a parcel of abandoned wretches about her, whom she employs as her panders of lust. She's the strange woman. She preys on them and eventually consumes them, just like Satan does, and she delivers them to hell. This is the characteristics of a strange woman.